Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Hey there! Do you like films? Do you like wrestling from the 2000s? Do you want to see a film about wrestling from the 2000s? Well, WrestleTalk are hosting a special screening of Ready to Rumble for its 19th anniversary at the Prince Charles Cinema in Leicester Square on May 7th, 2019.
Wrestling's fake.
Wrestling's not fake!
Myself, Ollie Davis, Luke Owen, Laurie Blake, Randy Andy Datsun, Pete Quinnell, and maybe a few other surprises will be in attendance for a meet and greet before the film.
And then stick around after the screening for a special Wrestle Ramble podcast recording where we'll talk in depth about David Arquette winning the WCW Championship to promote the film and what it did for the wrestling industry.
Would that be raw sewage I'm smelling?
They kind of always liked that smell.
If you've not seen Ready to Rumble before, come see the sports entertainment epic The Detroit News Said manages to insult not only pro wrestlers, but also their fans.
Brittany, let's go out again. We'll talk about me and you.
Dude, you're in there.
The Matt-based masterpiece the New York Post called a toilet humor farce proud of its own crudeness.
Your sister shot her first perp today.
That's nice, Gabby.
And if that doesn't tempt you, the Orlando Sentinel said of this barn burner brilliance, yes, film fans, there is a new worst movie of all time.
Any match, any time.
The Steel Cage.
Steel Cage wins.
So come see...
Shut up, Randy!
You're not part of this!
So come see Ready to Rumble at the Prince Charles Cinema on May 7th with your friends at WrestleTalk. Tickets are available now.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. All glorious 10 minutes intro and 10 minutes outro of it. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, SWAF Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
I feel like I haven't seen you today.
I know. Well, you've been a very busy boy. You've been doing lots of business stuff and at the gym.
Yeah, the gym. I'm back at the gym, folks. Wrestle talk, get better. I was talking to my lady partner about the walking debate, whether walking is an exercise.
Which it is.
And she agreed with me that it is an exercise. And then I went, you know, yeah, right, because... And then I explained how this debate came up in the first place. And she was like, you shouldn't say that to people. They're trying to get better. I was like, yeah, but you were on my side. And she went, look, if walking is exercise to them, then so be it. And I was like, no, it doesn't make me feel bad. So now I feel bad. Well done, everyone. So walk to your heart's content, I guess.
Ollie Davis, they will be playing the part of Paige, that it's all your fault. It's not the company's fault whatsoever. But how was your Grease sing-along?
Oh my God, I forgot that even happened.
Yeah.
Mostly because every single brain cell was destroyed. There are large parts of that night that I can't remember. And it was one of those glorious nights where everyone is just as drunk as each other. None of us can remember the last third of the film.
Oof.
We get to, what is it, high school? No, college dropout. I can't remember the name of the song. Something, something dropout. And everything goes blank.
Oof.
I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
That one.
But you probably did do it, though.
I definitely did it. There's a video of me doing it. And we had a... one of us wasn't drinking at all. I don't know how he stayed out till three. But he was caught sort of the journey... The journal, the librarian of mm-hmm. that night. So we say, did we do this? And he went, yeah, you did. Did we all wrestle? Oh, I haven't told this on the podcast, have I?
You have not, no.
So We went to a karaoke bar after the sing-along Grease.
Carrying on the singing theme.
Yep, and we were just all steaming because we were having pints of wine in the Prince Charles.
Pints of wine, mate.
You get two of those little bottles of Echo Falls and you pour them into one pint glass. And that goes back very quickly when you're having
fun. If you want to experience this live for yourself, you can come to the Prince Charles next Tuesday, where Ollie Davis is going to be necking pints of wine.
The same, yeah, it was the same venue.
Yep.
Why aren't there any good singing wrestling films?
Hmm.
You want it's a sing-along good, wrestling
that's
movie.
That's true, yeah. There aren't any. There even like as a joke one, like there was that musical horror movie called Stage Fright.
Hmm.
So surely something along those lines.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be like, you could have older wrestlers cameo in the film, but just a film about wrestling that is also a musical.
Yeah, just take the story of Billy Elliot, wrestling instead of ballet.
Mm.
It's all a performance. But yeah, we went to the karaoke bar afterwards, somewhere apparently I booked looking at my... I spent so much money, like hundreds of pounds.
This is where your hard-earned Patreon money goes
to. Oh, my God. I was like, the next morning, I was like, so who owes who what? Everyone owes me the what. I paid for everything. No wonder everyone was having such a good time.
I was going to say, big bollocks Ollie Davis over here. No, it's all on me. It's my birthday. It's on me.
I don't think I was saying
YouTube's
that.
I am YouTube's Ollie Davis. It's all on me.
Am I most drunk? I would never have said, it's on me, guys. It would have been more of, I'll get it. You pay me back tomorrow. but we went, yeah, looking at my Google Chrome tabs that were still open on my phone. It was me booking all these things. So we went to Lucky Voice in Soho. Miraculously, they had a room for 2 hours on a Friday night for free. Not for free. It was free. It was available.
Mm-hmm.
We went there and we continued to drink loads of wine and be very, very drunk. And there's loads of photos and videos of us just not sounding good, man.
Oh, no.
Oh, several. I don't think we're on the right instrument. There's keys. There's no keys
there. What song
there.
Are you singing?
All the songs. Backstreet's Back All Right.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, a bit of Billy Joel. We Didn't Start the Fire.
Which would be hilarious when you're drunk because your mind is not processing information quick enough for you to be in time with what Billy is talking about.
We're out of time, yeah. Massively.
Like Back to the Future, just out of time.
Loads of songs, all the classics. I kept on trying to put Hey Jude on and everyone would go, no, it's too sad. And it would never get on. When you get like the first bar. But then at one point in the night, one of the ladies got very ill and she disappeared. And someone said, hey, where's that lady? And we were like, oh, she just went to the toilet. She like got like 3 minutes ago just now. No, it's been half an hour.
Oh.
We're like, oh, no.
Oh, dear.
And we couldn't find her anywhere. The girls went into the toilets to see if they could find her. They couldn't. We went to the front and asked the bouncers. Well, one of us went to the front to answer the bouncers while all of us were in the room still. And he said, oh, could you check? And she walked out. And then they looked at all the monitors, the security monitors for all the rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And he said you could see into all the rooms. There was a nice group of girls there just doing some Disney songs. Then there was some just guys very respectfully. And then a mixed gender group just doing normal karaoke stuff. In the middle at the bottom was us wrestling. Just like jumping off of the seats, elbow drops. I've got a massive bruise on my thigh.
Ow.
Yeah, from I don't know what. I remember, and all of us individually have a memory like this, of being at the bottom of a bundle and just I thought my chest, the bones in my chest were gonna snap because I had 4 30-year-old men on top of me. Oh, couldn't breathe. But I was laughing so hard.
Yeah.
It was mixed emotions. Anyway, we were all hanging the next day. I didn't move from the sofa.
Imagine so. Yeah.
But it was great. It was a great day. That was my birthday.
It was your birthday.
That was my delayed birthday celebrations.
Well, I mean, I'm gutted that I couldn't be part of it, although, I mean...
There were tickets there for you, man.
I know, but I'm not sure we'd have made it across to the karaoke part of it anyway. I think I'm too old for that. Staying out till 3 a.m. Plus, like
you wouldn't know.
Plus, I'm so far out that I'm like getting a taxi back or getting the tube back's a nightmare.
You're trying to apply rational thought to being crap faced.
Yeah, that's very true. But yeah, I mean, maybe not. I've never been to a karaoke bar.
Never what? In my life, I've never been to a karaoke bar.
Laurie loves karaoke.
I know he does, but I've never been to one.
Oh, that's got to happen at one point. You love.
Oh yeah,
you love getting drunk and singing songs.
Absolutely. I think I would have a rollicking good time as long as you are with people who are willing to get up and do the songs. What you don't want to be is with a group of people who are just like, no, I'm shy. I'm not going to sing this one. Maybe I'll do another one. I'll do one later. And then it would just be me up there doing like Bloodhound Gang and Vanilla Ice.
Pearl Jam, maybe.
Oh, I could do some Pearl Jam. Bit of Jeremy. That'd be great for karaoke. Jeremy spoken last.
More Aladdin. Bring it to Aladdin, Muppets. Yeah. That's better. That's more fun
you
to
actually,
sing along.
You missed when you came in because I have my music playing in the studio while I'm doing editing and while I'm sort of setting up live streams and stuff. You missed Pictures in My Head from the Muppet soundtrack.
You might have been unbearable.
But I still loved your jokes. Classic tunes. Anyway, right, should we crack on into the show itself?
Yes.
So we are going to talk about SmackDown now and how it has saved Money in the Bank. But do stick around because we are going to have a competition in order for you to win tickets to come see WrestleTalk live in London next Tuesday. Here's the show.
Kick off with the Money in the Bank announcements. We are 3 weeks away from the pay-per-view, which is like 6 weeks out from WrestleMania. It's nice, I feel. You have the episodes after Mania, the Superstar Shake-Up, and now we're in the proper pay-per-view cycle of season 45 of WWE.
Lovely stuff.
Yeah. I wish it was better, though.
I was going to say, I said this in my review, which will be going up after this live stream does, that after last week's pretty disastrous ratings, I thought WWE would come out all guns blazing, being like, hey, look, that was quite bad, but we're going to really step it up this week. We're going to present a really vibrant product. Not going to do any massive changes, but we are going to present something that doesn't feel like the exact same show we did the previous week. And that's just what they did here. I thought this was a really boring episode of SmackDown. I found myself drifting off from this multiple times. And that's a shame because I think SmackDown has been easily the better show of the two throughout 2019.
Yeah. It's actually watchable.
Yeah.
Yeah,
really
which is nice. I feel like it was a very low-key show. It was a show.
Yeah.
There's nothing on here that was bad, like actively bad or damaging to everyone.
Not.
But yeah, like after the Raw on Monday, which was very tedious. But again, nothing terrible. It was just really uninspired stuff. SmackDown was nowhere near as bad as Raw.
Nope.
Because it's an hour shorter. And also they added some things into the Money in the Bank, which at least makes it a bit more exciting. And I thought the Kevin Owens Kofi stuff was solid. For where we're at in the build for the pay-per-view, it was solid. But yeah, there was nothing to really grab you. Did you see Raw's ratings for Monday? 2.15 million.
Oh, no.
And the third hour was like 1.89 million.
Crikey, that isn't good. People love it when we talk about the ratings, so please continue.
You know, I said we'll see in July a under 2 million Raw.
Yeah.
Bring that forward.
I was
conservative in my estimations.
We may see it in May.
But anyway, these Money in the Bank additions, rather than have Alexa Bliss just in the Moment of Bliss segments, which poses so many questions, like, who is in charge of this show?
McMahons?
Yes, but they're not
authority
figures.
Because we found out, because like later on in the show, Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville say that Shane gave them the chance to win the match.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing the McMahons are booking this.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But giving the responsibility to Alexa Bliss to announce.
Well, here we had the commentary team have that responsibility, and just in a graphic, no big reveal or end of the show segment, we had Finn Balor announced, Ali, which is great, Randy Orton, and Andrade. Three of those are fantastic, and Randy Orton, sure, I don't
mind. And I am always of the opinion that I would prefer these to be qualifying matches. You know, you qualify to get into Money in the Bank as opposed to just having your name read aloud and, you know, maybe adding some stakes and weights to matches in particular. I'm of the opinion of you. These three additions have actually made me more excited for Money in the Bank as opposed to Raw, where there was only one name that was in there that made me excited for Money in the Bank in Ricochet. I think having Balor, Andrade and Ali in there, Andrade in particular, because I think he's like got a win. I think of all those six people, I look at him as like he is the one with the most star potential. And he's the one with the most character potential as well to hold the Money in the Bank. He would be, like, him and Zelina would be so, so great with that gimmick.
Mm.
You're going to say Baron Corbin?
No. Well, I was going to agree with you, but then I realized my logic applies to Baron Corbin. So here's my idea. Finn Balor and Ali then tag together to take on Randy and Andrade, which was pretty much that it's just copy and paste stuff from the previous night.
Also, it was just an ad break.
Yeah.
Like there was no match here. There was an ad break and then a finish.
It was like a promo, ad break, everyone's finishing maneuvers.
Yeah, and then Ali wins.
It was a shame because the end was really exciting.
Yeah.
I was like, WWE, you know when we complain about the boring match structures you usually have? Do this. Do this more. Give us high spots.
Yeah.
It gets over in 2019.
No. What gets over is rest holds for 90% of the match.
Oh, yeah.
And then the big comeback.
But Andrade, so Ali got a jobber entrance, but Randy Orton and Balor also came in. And then Andrade and Vega came out, and Vega is cutting a promo. And Andrade says, well, he sort of runs down everyone.
I don't respect any of you.
Yeah. But then he says to his tag partner right now, Randy Orton, hey, if you want to learn something, tag me in.
It was great.
And I just thought, that's like, this is great. And as soon as he started speaking, I was like, I think Vegas should speak for him. But by the end of it, I was like, you know what? Let's run with this. And the match, like you said, was just fast action all over the place. But then Ali hit the 054 for the win.
Was it the 054? I thought you just hit a regular 450.
Oh, was it? Oh, yeah, you're right. It was a 450. Onto Andrade.
Yeah.
So Andrade took the fall. And
lost last week.
And he lost last week. And usually WWE's mentality is, well, we're going to put the briefcase on them. We can beat them all the time heading into the match.
Exactly.
And that I was saying that in my head as you were talking. And I thought, they beat Baron Corbin on Monday.
Baron, there is a strong chance that Baron's winning this. There is high probability that Baron is winning this. Because heat. You'll get heat from it, mate. Heat from promos at the very least. Once the bell rings, no one will care. But heat, mate.
Conspiracy theory. WWE are killing the wrestling viewership, so All Elite Wrestling stands less of a chance.
I've heard worse conspiracy theories, so I think you might be onto something with that one.
Hey, and I think Dean Ambrose is quite obviously going back to WWE. It was all a work, sheeple. I enjoyed the moves, but like you said, it wasn't a match. And Orton RKO's Balor right away, but Ali super kicks Orton to stand tall. So Ali stood tall at the end, putting over him very strong.
Yeah.
He got the pin, and he was the guy outlasting everyone at the end. So he's losing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But we have half of an excellent Money in the Bank match now.
Yeah, and I think that Money in the Bank, having those tall dudes in there in the cycle path and Braun and Baron, I think actually will be a nice dynamic for the match in the same way that you had Lars and Killian Dane in that North American Championship ladder match. As long as you can do some really good stuff with them and some good sort of big power spots, then they'll be an excellent addition to that match. Yeah. My worry is that because it's Braun, the way the Braun matches work is that you just get swatted around and then Braun wins. And that's not as much fun.
Do you think perchance Braun might charge into someone and they might move and Braun might run into a barricaded area?
I mean, stranger things have happened.
And
but,
then he stays out for most of the match.
And then he'll come back surprisingly and he'll, like, I don't know, break a ladder, snap it in half.
Punch it. I would put Lars in the match. Braun feels stale to me. Drew's great. I like if we're having big men in there, use Drew. Baron, sure, for the heat. But then, like, you I think Lars would be good.
I think Lars would be good.
He's got no direction.
Yeah, and actually on the SmackDown side of things, I'm a bit gutted that Aleister Black's not in the match. I'm a bit gutted that Buddy Murphy's not in the match.
Where was Buddy Murphy?
Well, where's he been since WrestleMania? Like, they announced him for the Superstar Shakeup. He's not been on, like, he's been on less than Sasha Banks has. Mm. And, like, it's, I think this would have been a really good chance. Like the, again, I keep going back to that North American Championship ladder match, because I think it is almost the standard bearer for ladder matches in WWE in the modern era.
I think of wrestling in the modern era.
It is a terrific match. And they used that match to debut Ricochet and EC3. Mm. So it made a big deal. It's like, man, you've got to watch that ladder match because that's when you're going to debut these. And they did this a couple of years back when they split the Shield and they put Rollins and Ambrose in there. That felt like it was a big deal because it's like, it's the first time they're being single stars and they're going to be in the Money in the Bank ladder match. And they're also feuding. What's going to happen? So I would have preferred Buddy to be in there rather than Randy Orton because, like, Orton, I don't think Orton's winning. And if Orton does win, then that's really an uninspiring choice. Yeah. What a boring choice to win Money in the Bank in 2019. Randy bloody Orton.
Randy Borton.
So in which case, why bother putting him in?
Well, hopefully to RKO someone jumping off a ladder.
Yep.
Ali, 450 off Ricochet, the ladder.
Yep.
What? Hey!
Ricochet will do his shooting star press into an... Yep, absolutely. 05, can we do an 054 into an RKO?
Does that work?
I think they might have already done that spot, but I'm sure Randy can make it work.
I don't know if the stretch room...
Yeah,
no, that was born. A shooting star.
That was a shooting star.
Yeah, that's what I said. But, like,
you said Phoenix Splash.
Did I?
You did, yeah.
I wasn't even close. Shooting star, but, like,
yeah. I think Randy Orton can just RKO people from out of nowhere.
So should we talk about the women's side of things, which unfortunately, whereas SmackDown, I would say, is 3-for-4 on the men's, is 1-for-4 on the women's, which means overall is 1-for-8 overall.
I'm interested. So you think it's 1-for-4 on the Raw side of things or 1-for-4 overall?
What are we talking about?
The women's side of things. Because
In terms of good picks.
I think there are two good picks in this.
Okay, well, let's go through what we said. What was said, rather. So, Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose.
Bayley was announced first.
I forgot about Bayley. Okay, yes. Bayley's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're on the same page with this then.
Right.
Yeah. Speaking of page. We're on the... Bayley was announced at the top of the show. They did it actually in three different segments for the Lady Folk section of the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. Bayley was announced via graphic because she was then going to have a match with Becky Lynch. Mm-hmm. And then later on, there was a segment between Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville where Mandy walks in and I was like, please be Sonya, please be Sonya, please be Sonya, please be Sonya. And she said, Shane has said we can be in Money in the Bank, but it can only be one of us. And I thought, oh, okay, so they'll have a match. And that will determine. And Mandy's like, I think it should be you. And Sonya said, no, I think it should be you. And Mandy said, yeah, it should be me. And that was it. So Mandy's in the match now. And I just thought, weren't you feuding just a few weeks ago? Like, weren't you splitting up? Why are you now the best of friends again?
Alexa Bliss, Natalia, Dana Brooke.
Dana Brooke.
Mandy Rose.
I'm pretty sure there's going to be a moment where
where
Mandy Rose and Alexa Bliss are going to stand opposite each other. So it's the Spider-Man point. Like, huh? So Mandy Rose is in the match. An uninspired choice for the lady folk side of things.
Like, but you can have uninspired. Like, I would say Natalia is uninspired because she doesn't excite me in the slightest, but she's a very proficient wrestler. Mandy Rose doesn't excite me, in the ring at least, and she is... I wouldn't say the person I'd want around a ladder match with Alexa Bliss in. I'm very worried about Alexa Bliss's health all the time.
I know. But again, I come back to that WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal, the final three of that, of Sarah Logan and Asuka and Sonya Deville. We were all on our feet going like, what a great triple threat. This is amazing. None of them are featured in this bloody match. And two of them could have been.
Yeah.
And they're not in an arse's roar of it.
I mean, Asuka could have been her as well.
Well, she's in the tag thing.
But, you know, Becky's wrestling twice.
Another
thing, I'll get on to Asuka later. So we've got Bayley and Mandy Rose. I've written, God damn it, that's a terrible lineup. And then we had the final reveals, which was just not Renee Young backstage.
I genuinely thought it was Renee Young. When she came on screen, I was like, oh, Renee Young's here. And then it's like, oh, no, it's not Renee Young.
She must have come over with Michael Cole. and the final two MacDown people.
Is that what she said?
She said MacDown. I rewound it a couple of times. Because she starts the... I mean, we misspeak all the time. It's easily done.
Yeah.
But it's funny.
Yeah.
She starts
it's hilarious
off,
when we do
yeah,
it.
She starts off quite strong, but then she has like a half breath pause where she obviously something goes wrong in her head. She gets through a bit, then she says MacDown. And I was like, that's it went wrong back here.
Yeah,
that's good. And she introduced Ember Moon, who I thought cut a pretty good promo.
Yeah, it was good. And I'm glad to see Ember put into this position.
Yeah, very excited.
Big
to see
fan
Ember.
Of Ember, absolutely. And then Carmella was the last entrant, and I thought, well, I mean, I'm not that into Carmella. I think she does very little for me. I don't really want to see her with the lunchbox again. But then I went on to the list of WWE personnel Wikipedia page, my favorite page on Wikipedia, because it's the easiest way for me to keep track of where people are and who's employed still. And I looked through who the other possibilities were, and I was like, Carmella was the best choice, because it was either her...
On SmackDown.
Yeah, it was either her, Lana... Liv Morgan or Mickie James?
I mean, yeah, I wouldn't put Mickie James. I don't see why you can't put a tag team in there. I don't see why...
You could have put Kairi Sane and Asuka
in
there.
Yeah. I mean, that brings it from here to here.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Bayley and Ember Moon. I mean, hopefully they put it on Bayley, I would say, out of the bunch. Like, Ember Moon has got time...
Who's on Raw again?
What, in the match?
Yeah. Dana Brooke, Natalia.
Alexa Bliss.
Natalia, yeah. Alexa Bliss and... God, I genuinely couldn't remember who the fourth person was. Yeah, of those eight, I guess Bayley is the person I'd like to see with it most.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Thanks very much on Patreon to Expect a Fight.
That's just, well, that's what they call on Patreon. Whoa. And I didn't have another name for them, so they're Expect a Fight. Martin Santoyo talking to me. That was difficult. I was struggling this morning.
Dennis the Dijon Mustard Johnson.
Whoa. Nice. Yeah. Yes, lastly. And the last one.
Just Incredible Edelheit.
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 Edelheit. Edelheit. Edelheit. Yeah, lovely stuff. Yeah.
We'll go to the next one, which is from
bless you,
Animansa, who says, do you think Dominic will turn on Ray to help Joe?
I think that's definitely happening.
I thought that was going to happen at WrestleMania.
Mm. Yeah.
But then we've got a 60-second match instead.
Benny Boy says, not at work this week, so might as well watch live for the first time. Control C, Control V for Charlotte doing what Lacey did last week. Aha!
I got that joke in my review, yeah. Aha!
Yeah. Louise Marie says, trust you guys to go live just as I go to bed.
Sorry, Louise Marie.
Sorry, Louise
Marie. In Australia.
We've got, I feel like we've got quite a big Australian contingent.
Hey, when we were talking about our Prince Charles show next weekend, someone said you should come do a show in Australia, like a tax rebate holiday.
Yeah, we're big down under.
Seen that film.
Well, speaking of taking things elsewhere, another thing that Swifty said in his big donation was to bring the beer deal to America because we like beer too.
Hey, we've asked them. It's
something that they are looking into. Mm. They are. I mean, they've been around for a few years, but they are very much a homegrown. Like they, you know, they're sort of grown out of living rooms, really. Mm. So they are a growing company, but they need to expand. Yeah. But yeah, that's a big undertaking to expand.
Cringe says, how you doing, Luke? You bald, son of a banshee.
I'm doing so good. I'm doing great, actually. I'm having a really good day. I'm interviewing Johnny Impact later, and then we're going to the pub, so I'm stoked.
Steve Austin, probably not that one, but maybe that one. Gorilla Help Compost.
Gorilla Help Compost.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Is that not? I actually thought that was a thing. Walu TV.
Hey,
Dan.
What do you think? Who do you think is winning the SmackDown tag titles?
Oh, well, I mean, should we save this for when we get to the review? But it is slim pickings.
Mm.
It is slim pickings, mate.
Yeah, I don't. I couldn't tell you. I probably Rusev and Nakamura.
They are the only viable option.
Ryan F says, I hope Andrade or McIntyre win the men's Money in the Bank match. I'd like to see Bayley win the women's Men in the Bank match.
On the same page as us.
Yeah, good Andrade choices. And Bayley.
Yeah, absolutely.
Blind Man V2 says, sing it, Andy. Testing. I'm just suggesting the Wrestle Ramble shake-up might be the best thing.
So
me up there, I guess, but that's a terrible idea. Tomo!
Cheekily rolling his eyes at
I
us.
Bet you that's not a real comment.
Yeah.
Genuinely.
Just blind trying to make a movement.
Just added, oh, this person here says that I'm amazing and I'm a brilliant singer and I've got a massive knob. I should definitely be in front of camera.
He wants to get an Occupy Wrestle Ramble movement going.
Yeah, hashtag boycott Wrestle Talk. Tomo says, Ollie will interfere in the match and help Corbin win.
God. Yeah.
That would be you, wouldn't it? That'd be what you'd do.
Mm.
Kevin, hate to be the bearer of bad news, but Buddy Murphy will get the Andrade treatment. Brackets won't be here for months. Pointless feuds.
Well, actually, that was the sanity treatment, really, wasn't it?
Like Andrade got it a bit at the start as well.
Yeah, he was. He debuted within at least 3 or 4 weeks, I think. Then had two matches and disappeared for 6 months. But yeah, and it took sanity 2 months to debut. And then disappear for a year. But I think the Buddy Murphy thing is probably not far off the money. He'll be on the roster but not do anything for a year.
Are Bliss and Murphy not together anymore?
Well, so a lot of people have pointed this out because the mandate, apparently, backstage is they want to keep couples together. Yeah. But Bliss is on Raw and Murphy's on SmackDown. Mm. But then again, they've been separated previously anyway because he's been on 205 Live. So they've always been separated.
Mm. I don't think they are. But
you don't think they are?
No, I don't think they're together.
They're in Splitsville.
I know. Brad Grove says, Superstar Shake-Up still isn't finished. Is Michael Cole on SmackDown now? What the flip? Watching from Australia. Keep up the good work.
Speaking of Buddy Murphy.
Well, they're just trying to, you know, they're trying to get those ratings. And Michael Cole is a person.
Yeah, sorry, I was just Googling whether or not they are still dating. This is from Russell Talk. Alexa Bliss shoots on relationship with Buddy Murphy.
Well, that was ages ago. That weirdly, that keeps being really popular. Anytime Buddy Murphy does anything, people read that. Anyway, Jobber JJ.
They're engaged. They were engaged in January 2019.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well done to them. Why are women always friends and not competitors?
And because the company, the promotion is largely written by men, and that seems to have created a probably unconscious but very uninformed way of presenting women on screen.
Yeah.
Armless Ambidextrous says, crap gimmick wrestling more/longer.
More/longer.
So do more
crap gimmicks.
More
yeah.
entrance. Yeah. I like the backlog.
Yeah, fair enough. Blacksaw Hex, no message, but nice little donation from Blacksaw
Hex. Thank you.
Invoke Dragon says, who would you put Buddy Murphy against in his first feud?
Balor.
yeah, Balor's good, and then just win the Intercontinental title.
Exactly. Yeah. Establish him as a top mid-carder right from the get-go.
Victor Vega says something weird. Wesley Martinez says, just one question. What the heck was that new Bray Wyatt promo? I'm with Graves. I can never sleep again.
It's great.
It was amazing.
Love it. Sociopath is still the word of the day.
Mm.
Louise Marie, who said that, who moaned earlier about sleep times, said, come to Melbourne, the city of expensive beers.
Oh, well, now you're selling it to us.
We'll bring our own. Yeah. We'll just bring a crate.
We'll bring Beer 52 with us.
Kareem Hanafi says, lukewarm Steve Austin. I don't know if he's saying that you look like Steve Austin.
I guess so, yeah. Because I'm stone cold, isn't
exactly
it?
Exactly, so I'm lukewarm Steve Austin, because I've got bald and the goatee.
And lastly, from Brent Everett, and I'll run off to see my leaky package, was at SmackDown last night, Black had a dark match with Mahal, and a good amount of the crowd was chanting, he deserves better.
Who had the dark match with Mahal?
Aleister Black.
Aleister Black, right, okay. God, wow. What a match.
What a feud. Yes, yeah. Right, I'll be back in 5 minutes.
Okay. Cool. So the episode of SmackDown kicked off with Michael Cole in the ring.
You said that you thought this segment was solid, but I was immediately against this segment. Michael Cole was there, and I don't find him an engaging on-screen presence. And then the next thing, he brings down Kofi Kingston throwing pancakes. And I'm like, mate, you got turned on by Kevin Owens. Your best friend was powerbombed onto the apron. And here's me thinking, Woods is far too injured. That's why he's not coming out with Kofi. Kofi's there flinging pancakes like absolute not a care in the world. And Byron says, goes like, I think Kofi's putting on a real brave face because of what happened last week. And I'm like, this sucks, man. Like,
there's a brave face and then there's...
There's just acting normal. And then he gets into the ring. And I do not know how this got so far in the scripting stage to get to this point. They then spent nearly 10 minutes recapping him winning the title. How does this happen? It's been 3 weeks. We're recapping him winning the title. They were going back to Elimination Chamber. Yeah. And I'm like, guys, there are more pressing matters at hand. His friend was powerbombed into the apron last week. Finally, they get to Kevin Owens. And I just kept thinking to myself, this is half a Friends episode. This is half an episode of Seinfeld has been dedicated to them recapping something that's been happening for the last couple of months that didn't need to be recapped. This was diabolical television. This was dreadfully, dreadfully bad television, and I hated every single second of it. It put me in such a bad mood. Getting up at 5:30, I'm sweating. Getting up at 5:30 to watch this show, and they're just telling me stuff that I already know. It really wound me up because I thought it's so inconsistent with all characters in the ring. It's inconsistent with the story. It's inconsistent. I didn't like it at all.
I guess, yeah. Well, when you put it like that, maybe it was the later stuff that I enjoyed.
I like the later stuff. The later stuff was great.
Because it was, at least it wasn't Kofi coming out and saying, here's what I did at Elimination Chamber. Here's what I did at WrestleMania. Yeah. Here's what happened last week. No, I'm sad.
Yeah.
It was Michael Cole doing it. I thought Michael Cole wasn't annoying here.
He was genuine. You could tell that Michael Cole wanted to say these things to Kofi and be able to have the sort of public forum to be able to say things to him. And that was quite lovely. But then it is infuriating going through WWE.com and seeing all these pictures of Kofi Kingston smiling. And I'm like, mate, why are you smiling?
Yeah.
Why are you smiling?
When Kofi went serious and delivered a promo... I don't think he gets enough credit for his promos,
He's very good.
He's really good. Yeah. And he's so authentic. And he really believes in all the believe-in-yourself mantra.
And that's why he was so great in the lead-up to Mania. I think that's a lot of the crowd behind him, or the crowd getting behind him, was down to this 11-year journey. But I was also down to his great promos. And his promos sort of selling people that might not have been sold on Kofi Kingston into buying into him winning. I think he's great.
Yeah. But as much as I like Cole... He did jump the shark when he looked at Kofi dead in the eye and said, your title win was possibly the greatest WrestleMania moment ever. I've heard you. We reviewed WrestleMania 30, and he said that about the opening segment of the show with Hulk Hogan, Stone Cold, and The Rock.
Yeah. It's just a phrase to say. Anyway, finally, Kevin Owens comes out. After an entire Teen Titans Go episode, Kevin Owens comes out.
So I was going to say, I thought Kofi's explanation for why they trusted Kevin Owens was really good. Because with A New Day, we see the positivity in people and everyone deserves a second chance. Yeah. Look how I got my second chance.
And it was,
that works.
And he even said, like, oh, maybe I should have seen it coming, which I think is a really, like, that's a good character flaw to have, of being like, yeah, maybe I should have seen it coming, but I didn't want to see it coming. I wanted to trust this guy. And I think that's actually really nice.
Because he's so much about the positivity. And I thought that is a very consistent character trait that they told in this episode as well. But yeah, like you said, KO comes out. He tells Kofi that nobody thinks you're championship material, which, like, the problem when he said that was, yeah, I think a lot of people probably do think that.
Well, Billy Graham certainly doesn't think so.
Yeah. But, like, if you haven't watched WWE for a while and you click on and you say, oh, what? Kofi Kingston is champion? And then Kevin Owens says that. Yeah, I think when he won the title, that's the time to drop all the unworthy stuff and just be like, you've proven yourself.
Yeah. You won on the biggest stage.
Now let's build feuds and motivation around something else.
Yeah.
I think it makes people look worse. And Xavier awesomely runs in to beat up Owens, but Owens super kicks him really quickly.
Yeah. I actually saw someone present a really interesting theory that I would have really liked, actually. It was back before they did the Kevin Owens turn, which is that Vince McMahon planted Kevin Owens into the New Day, and that would explain the whole thing of why he brought him back, and that would sort of actually tie all these storylines together. And he did it to try and, like, he put Kevin Owens in there to try and fracture New Day because Vince doesn't want them to be a group anymore. And I was like, what a great little story that would have been. Like a Viper in the Family, but, like, the other way around, where the bad guy is trying to split up the good guy group. But no, he's just turned heel, and it's got nothing to do with Vince McMahon, apparently.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. I think that still raises questions about why he was put in the match in the first place a few months ago. But then Kofi was backstage telling Xavier in the trainer's room, look, don't do that. I can take care of myself. So, but not from a bad place, from a very, I want to protect you. I'm the champion. Mm. You know, I really felt like Kofi was a proper hero in this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We eventually got the serious Kofi that I was after. So, you know, I'm not demonizing the whole show based upon that.
But you're right. Yeah. The first part of this story was a bit ridiculous. Then we got Bayley versus Becky Lynch, where Bayley is unceremoniously announced in the Money in the Bank match. There she is. She's in a graphic.
But they had a really nice match, though. I thought it was some good back and forth action. I actually really liked this.
I think it's match of the week in WWE.
Yeah.
Easily. I like from the opening hip toss, and Bayley just gets straight up and looks at Lynch in the face.
Oh, great!
I thought it was great, and then shrink screen ad break. I wanted this to go longer. But I just wish. So what happened is Charlotte caused Bayley went for an elbow drop. Becky caught her in the disarmer, which was a really cool spot, and made Bayley tap. Charlotte runs in and punches Becky.
And she booted her.
Booted her. So yeah, I'm just getting her and Lacey Evans mixed up
to get into the Spider-Man meme.
So now Bayley has lost 2 weeks in a row. Fine about last week. Why couldn't this week, if you're going to have Charlotte run in, just have Charlotte run in?
Well, I think the story they're telling, and they were talking about this on commentary, which is why, and I say this in my review, although it is Control-C, Control-V from what they did last week with Lacey Evans, I think here they did it for storyline purposes, which is, even if Becky does manage to defend both her belts and Money in the Bank, someone's going to have a briefcase, and they could just run down and beat her up afterwards and leave her laying. So even she has got the uphill task of defending her title twice anyway, but actually she's got multiple people coming after her on that night. So I actually think the way that this was set up was actually quite nice, and I thought it told quite a nice little story.
There's that side of it. I just, don't book Bayley in this position to lose again.
Well, I would agree with you there, because Bayley's whole point of her promo last week is, you've never beaten me. And now Becky has beaten her, so... Yeah. I guess that's a moot point now.
And for everyone getting excited, oh, well, maybe Bayley, this is a fresh start. She's definitely showing a more serious side. I loved how she acted in this match, even though last week I was making fun of her for being emo Bayley. I thought she was great here, but she's been beaten twice, back to back. All the time she's been on SmackDown, she's lost. So, yeah, I'm not optimistic about it. And about Becky, and I mentioned Asuka earlier on, I thought the whole point of Asuka beating Becky at the Royal Rumble was so Becky had a challenger coming out of WrestleMania to say, I've beaten you.
Well, yeah, but then the Iconics needed challengers.
Oh, my God. It's the tail wagging the dog.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'd imagine
You made the tail.
Perhaps I'm projecting here. I mean, this is purely speculation on my part. Perhaps the idea was they thought they were going to continue the feud with the Iconics and Boss and Hug. But those plans sort of fell apart when some of them started to lay on locker room floors. So, and then they had to change those plans, and that's why we've now got Asuka and Kairi Sane. Because I'll be honest, that doesn't feel like that was a long-term plan. That was very much a last-minute decision.
Yeah, well, what, are you saying Paige, Asuka, and Kairi Sane isn't a well-thought-out, coherent gimmick?
I mean, it's, yeah, maybe I am.
That happened. Aleister Black had another promo. He talked about fear this time.
Ooh. Spooky promo.
It's fine.
It's fine for a while. It was fine when Bray Wyatt did it to start off with, but then it just became Rambly Rabbit.
Yeah. Not most recent Rambly Rabbit. Andy Datsun has rejoined us.
I thought Pete was coming down.
And I think everyone wants to know what was
your leaky
the
package.
Leaky package.
Andy
Datsun.
Can't say
and
because
his leaky
it's for
package.
Private parts.
It's no. It's for someone who sometimes watches this.
It's for Tomo.
Yeah, it's for Tomo. You've caught me. No, it's just an edible liquid.
So it is for private parts.
That sounds disgusting.
But it's just one of the containers had split.
Edible liquid, eh? Isn't that what was it, Red Bull slush thing?
Oh,
that
yeah.
Sonic
the only diet with slush in it. Red, viscous slush.
I haven't stopped thinking about this Red Bull slush. Slush is a gross word. Yeah. Like, I don't want to drink something that's called slush. Sounds like a baddie from Captain Planet. Like, I don't think that doesn't sound appeasing.
Anyway, we got the Hardy Boys coming out for their announcement next. It was in the ring with them.
Kayla Braxton.
It was Kayla Braxton. Jeff was selling this really well. He was on crutches. And he says, like when Kayla's, well, you know, what have you got to tell us? And he goes, well, it's probably easier to show you. And introducing his goddamn video package that wasn't even really about him. It was a video package for Lars beating up Kurt, beating up all these other guys, and then beating up Jeff in there.
I know, but I think that's quite a nice... They've turned a negative of Jeff getting injured and applying that to Lars. And I think now Lars, a character portion, he put Jeff Hardy on the shelf. Popular wrestler Jeff Hardy, Lars has injured him.
Yes, that's great. I think that's a great direction. The video package is what I've got issue with. And Jeff introducing the video package. Oh, the guy that really beat me up and has caused me to have to relinquish the tag team titles. I'm going to have to get surgery. I'm going to be out for ages, he said.
We never got to defend these belts.
Here's a video package hyping that guy. in feuds that I wasn't even a part of.
Yeah, it's fair. That you, when you're right, you're right. When you're right, you're right.
I hate it.
Right, so should we talk about the terrible state of the tag team division. So
who we got?
Hardys have relinquished the belts. Here are the teams that are left on SmackDown that could possibly win the belts. Rusev and Shinsuke Nakamura, New Day, who seem to have their own problems at the moment. They're tied up elsewhere.
And injured.
The B team, the Colognes, Heavy Machinery, and at a push, the Singh Brothers.
Not even Gallows and Anderson.
No, because they're on Raw now. So, like, that's your tag team lineup. And as I say in the review, like, okay, Rusev and Shinsuke Nakamura, they're the obvious people to put the belts on because they're the only credible team that you've currently got there. And even then, I wouldn't even say they're a pretty credible team because they never win anything.
I would say Heavy Machinery out of the bunch.
But you can do a babyface chase with Heavy Machinery against the heels of Nakamura. But then that point is that if you feud with Heavy Machinery, well then what? Because there's no other teams for them to face that have got any form of credibility.
Another Franken team. Yeah, it's a sorry state of affairs.
It's embarrassing.
And a state of affairs that WWE have created. And yeah, you've got loads of people injured at the moment. But you're also in control of who's on what roster. And you're still transferring people between the two brands. So balance out the divisions a bit more. It's just baffling.
Or merge them.
Oh my God. Anyway, Jeff says he needs surgery. He's going to be out for a long time. Matt reveals they're vacating the tag titles. And then Lars Sullivan comes down. Felt genuinely scary, just because Jeff looks so injured on the crutches. Matt tried to defend him, but Lars beats him up. Lars goes for Jeff, But our truth appears with a chair, hits Lars on the back, Lars no sells, and then punched a chair out of Truth's hand.
It's pretty badass.
It was awesome. Yeah. That was cool. And then powerbombs Truth, Jeff gets away. I thought...
But Jeff doesn't get away. Do you see where Jeff was? No. Jeff was on the floor selling something. I went back because I was like, man, Jeff took a bump.
I thought he got out the ring.
Well, he does, because Lars gets out of the ring and you can see Jeff lying on the floor selling. And I was like, oh, when did Jeff take a bump? I must have missed that. So I went back. He doesn't. He leaves the ring and then just lays down on the floor for Lars to make his exit.
It's probably a smart move. Just hide. Play dumb. Possum.
Play possum.
But yeah, I thought they were going to have Jeff take a bump. I didn't know how injured he was, but because he didn't take a bump, it's obviously pretty serious.
Yeah.
Then we got the men's Money in the Bank participants announced. Then Asuka and Kairi Sane.
Your fave.
Took on some jobbers.
You can tell they're a proper tag team now because they've mushed their themes together in the worst way possible.
Dun, 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 dun. That bit at the start from JBL.
And then you have Asuka's music, and then that stops at a random point, and Kairi Sane's music plays. And then it stops again at a random point. And that's not mixing songs together. That is pressing stop and start. It is very bad.
That's what 14-year-old Ollie Davis used to think DJing was. I used to turn up the volume. I used to turn the volume down and turn up another on two different CD players I had.
Absolutely, yeah.
Mix it. when they came out...
At least you faded down.
And they had the robes and everything. I thought, man, Kairi Sane and Asuka look awesome together. And then there's just this page in the middle.
Towering over both of them.
All in black. Looks nothing like either of them in the clothes that she's wearing. I just thought, come on.
I said from the start, this doesn't work. And the more it goes on, the less... No one has given me an actual explanation as to why they are an act. This is...
I've got a racist explanation for you.
Okay. Well, Asuka and Kairi... Oh, they can't speak English.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. That is about the only explanation I can see.
Hmm.
But a kayfabe reason.
Yeah. Well, Paige scouted some talent. And one of those talents was the, you know, young up-and-comer Asuka who's beaten everyone and
former
is amazing anyway.
Former women's champion. Former women's champion who still doesn't seem upset that she lost her title just before WrestleMania.
Anyway, the Iconics were on commentary. They were funny.
Great.
And
they were so, so great. Oh, it was amazing.
And Kairi Sane won with an elbow.
Yeah.
Then we got the Sonya Mandy Rose stuff backstage. Then Roman Reigns came out.
This was a segment, wasn't it?
I didn't mind it.
There are elements of this that I don't mind. In fact, actually, I would argue the vast majority of this I really liked.
Yeah. So Reigns comes out, he says he's still the big dog, and SmackDown's his yard now. But Shane interrupts, and I just thought, God damn, I'm sick of you. You're pushing me on one brand, Shane. If I have to deal with you twice a week, and that seems to be what we're getting. McMahon family own all the land, he said to Roman. Roman says he's going to beat him up. So who does Shane bring out to have a handicap match with Roman?
The B-team. B-team, rah, rah, rah. Boy, I've not missed this act.
Mm.
They haven't been around for a while. And as soon as their music hit, I was like, God, I've not missed you. I haven't missed you in the slightest.
But there was some saving grace, and that was the special guest referee was Elias.
He wasn't the special. He was the special guest enforcer.
Sorry, yeah.
So I mistook him for the ref as well. And I was like, why is he outside the ring?
In a string vest. A string referee vest. He looks so funny.
And he comes out and goes, dring. Hello, I am Elias.
cut to commercial. I that was funny.
I thought he was going to say, dring, I am the ref. And I was like, it really, really made me laugh. But then, I mean, God, do you want to have a stab in the dark in what happened in this match?
Roman took on everyone. Well, he was worked over for a long period. But then he beat up everyone and overcame the odds and won.
And that, as a finish, the final 30 seconds of this, love it. Love Roman coming back, overcoming the odds. Problem was, 90% of it was a Bo Dallas headlock that doesn't look like it hurts, doesn't look like it's making him pass out, doesn't look like he's even stuck. It's just there, and we're just watching him do it. Then they cut to ad break, they come back, he's still doing it. It just wouldn't end.
And there's two of them.
It's boring to watch. Yeah. This is not an exciting way to book wrestling matches. It's a really boring way. This is exactly what happened with Drew at WrestleMania. It's a boring, boring match. And we keep having to see it every time Roman wrestles. And that's why people don't bloody like him. Mm. He's a tremendous wrestler. And they keep booking him in boring matches. And this was boring.
Yeah. The last minute was great.
Couple
of minutes was really good. It was proper sports entertaining. Roman somehow managed to pin, but the referee was pulled out by Elias, and then Roman had to beat up everyone. There was a great bit where he chased Elias round the ring, saw Curtis Axel was on the apron, and just did that drive-by dropkick. Yeah. I thought it was really cool.
I think B-Team and Elias did such a great job of selling for Roman's offense. I thought they were wicked.
And then Reigns punches Elias when Elias has the guitar to get him. Spears Axel. The original ref comes in. 1, 2, 3. Crowd were hot for it.
Yeah, yeah.
But the problem is, it was rough going.
Yeah.
And for the first two thirds.
Yeah.
Firefly Funhouse, same as Raw. Still great.
Still great.
I wish they just kept this on one brand, but they obviously don't know what they're doing.
No.
Then we got the...
So WWE, it's obvious they don't know what they're doing.
We get the hot takes on Wrestle Ramble. Balor and Ali beat Randy and Andrade. Then we got the Women's Money in the Bank announcements on SmackDown. And then finally, we got the KO show with Xavier Woods.
Yeah. Do you want me to recap it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
I thought I spoke for a bit, so I was passing
over. Very nice. But I thought I spoke quite a bit during that Roman match where I had my little meltdown, so I thought I'd pass across.
I didn't speak very much.
Shut up, Randy. My turn, your turn.
Okay. Owens came down and he said that you might have noticed that all the gimmicks have gone from the Kevin Owens show set. I don't need sofas. I don't need signs because I'm not like the New Day. I don't need superficial things surrounding me. It's kind of the promos we sort of expected Daniel Bryan to be cutting when he was feuding with Kofi Kingston, but they sort of turned it around and didn't really go down the vegan route with him. Instead, went down the B-plus route with him. And yeah, it just said like, I was going to interview Xavier Woods, but... he can't come down. But I thought this might happen. So I've got an action figure from a deluxe figure set. He's got a lot of them because New Day like a lot of like crap that you don't need. And he puts it onto the chair. And then he gets that little Big E one. The Big E's got a little cast around it.
That was funny.
Thought it was funny. And he puts that there. Then kicks the chair over because he doesn't want to interview them anyway. And then here comes serious Kofi Kingston. The Kofi I was expecting to see at the start of the show.
It was awesome because...
so good.
Owens is doing this stuff in the ring and the camera's focusing on Owens and then you hear the crowd go, because... and the music hasn't hit. And then the camera cuts to the entrance ramp and Kofi's just standing there. No entrance theme, nothing. And he just runs down. And I thought that is... like, that's Cap. That's Captain America stuff.
I would have had this segment open the show. I would have, if I was booking this, I'd have had this segment open the show. Kevin Owens coming out to interview Xavier Woods. And that you can write Woods off for the week because he took the powerbomb onto the apron. And you just have Kofi, no entrance, no big, none of that. Just coming straight down to the ring. You have the big pull-apart brawl. And then you end the show with the tag match with the big Ali win. Give that more time. I don't think it would have been a much nicer show.
Or Becky versus Bayley.
Could
have easily main evented this show. Yeah, that's perfect. I've got no additions. But yeah, it's Kofi beat up Kevin Owens. Owens got a bit of shine back, but then Kofi stood tall at the end, and Owens left through the arena. I think that is really solid stuff. 3 weeks out from a pay-per-view. It's what we said last year, where they would do that, like, that's the angle for your go-home show.
Reading a letter.
Yeah, but the really, really fiery and intense stuff was 2-3 weeks out. So hopefully this now builds next week and has a huge go-home angle with maybe Big E and Xavier returning.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a 2 out of 5 show.
Oh, you'd have given it a SmackDown, huh?
What would you give
it? I gave it a SmackDown as well.
Yeah, yeah. But a lot of, I saw some people on Reddit say worst week of WWE television in living memory. And I thought,
Well, yeah, actually, you're right. That happens every single week.
But that, like, there's much worse weeks. Like last year was much worse.
Absolutely,
and recent
it was.
Years, so.
Yeah, this wasn't the worst week of TV. It was just a boring week. It was a nothing happening week. It was one of those weeks where we sit down and we had to come up with two different titles for two different videos. And we can only think of one title. And then you get to the second and you're like, I don't know, what else is there to talk about?
Yeah, Dean Ambrose. So let's have some super chat.
Yes. I'm surprised there isn't more super chats about the Jon Moxley video.
Oh, also, remember, everyone, stick around because we're going to be playing WWE 2K19 on Screen Stalker, live streaming that with Laurie and Simon and Chopper Pete. as soon as this video finishes. So you could put the link.
I will do, yes.
In the video description. Andy's going to put that in there for you to click and have that window open.
Mm. And thank you to everyone, because it's been a very generous day indeed.
Thank you all.
Jay-Z starts the second batch of Super Chats with, what do you think of Sasha returning at Money in the Bank and costing Bailey the briefcase if she's staying? Thanks, gent.
Oh, my God.
Finally get that Sasha Bailey feud that's been in the works now for 2 years.
No. No, Sasha Banks needs to go to... If she's coming back, I don't think she should. But if she does... She's got to go on Raw, because Raw has nobody.
Yeah, I'm 100% agreement with you. Yeah, keep her far away from Bailey.
You want to feud with Tamina?
Rocky Balboa says, hey, WrestleTalk, question Luke, what is my name in Patreon? My name is Rodrigo Benitez.
Oh, you were in yesterday's Patreon shoutouts. You are Patreon's personalised ring announcer.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
It was WrestleTalks.
WrestleTalks, sorry, yes, WrestleTalks, yeah.
An Alberto Del Rio joke.
Yes. Yeah.
Cringe says, yo, Randy, could you show Ollie and Luke my profile pic?
What is it?
It is a picture of him wearing a very large hat that looks like a flower.
Fantastic.
Sweet.
That sounds like a solid profile picture.
Yeah. My half-orc has that in my Dungeons & Dragons party. It's like a little helmet that allows him to talk to plants. That's nice. That's exactly how we picture it. It's like a little flower coming out the top of it.
Isaiah Fakire, who I believe is a picture of the Haitian flag as his background.
Knowledge.
Should NXT UK have the Euro belt?
Just off the top of my head, I think it's the Haitian flag.
Should NXT UK have...
Seeing that we're talking about profile pictures now.
Yeah, seeing that we're talking about flags on the subject of them.
It is, yes. I was looking it up.
Yeah, just to confirm I was correct there. Yeah,
should the NXT UK have the Euro belt for their mid-card, you bullies?
They haven't got a mid-card. You need to have a mid-card for a mid-card.
They are the mid-card. we're so down on NXT UK. We're down on WWE's... presentation of NXT.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was done for cynical reasons. Yeah.
Devin Banks says, thanks, Andy, for your flag knowledge. It's really helpful. No, he didn't say that. Mm-hmm. He says, add to Raw ratings, mid-card night Raw.
Mid-card night Raw? Yeah. I guess like Monday night Raw.
Yeah, I guess that's
quite... I might steal that.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Small Afro Games, no message, but he has two different donations.
Now, I believe that is Jaron Walker, who emails us in quite a bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's one of our long-time listeners and emailers in.
Yeah, Jaron Walker.
Yeah. Huh.
Mr. Michael Law, 2011, says, did you guys talk about the Jon Moxley video?
There it is. We haven't talked about it on this yet.
What? What a freaking video promo. It's incredible. I was loving it anyway. And then there's a shot of Moxley, I guess I should start calling them that now, walking along the street with his back hunched and the music's going. I just thought, this is next level. This is what my adult mind wants wrestling to be. If this is part of All Elite Wrestling, very excited.
Yeah, it was great. Really, really cool. It was awesome. And it was very symbolic.
Mr. One says, who would you book to win in winner takes all AJ Styles versus Kenny Omega versus CM Punk match?
What, winner takes what? None of them got
wrestling.
Titles.
Yeah.
Winner takes
winner
wrestling.
Winner takes wrestling.
Huh. Well, I think the viewers would be the real winners of that match.
Yeah. Whoever wins, we all win.
Mm. Yes. Ryu Dante says, I work overnight usually during the week, and your videos mostly get me through the night. Keep up the good work, guys.
Thank you very, very
much.
Thank you very much.
Tomo says,
Tomo,
I really didn't really know how much I wanted to have the Iconics hands on hips on commentary.
Iconic. They were. I loved them. I've actually gone back and watched it again for a second time, because they are so funny. And it is just how they, as soon as like a big move will happen, they'll just distract themselves with something else because they don't want to be putting over how good the move is. And then as soon as like the other get on offense, they'll be like, oh no, they're really great. They're amazing. I thought it was very funny. One point she called her Ariel. She's like, come on, Ariel.
Oh, because she had red hair and green. Yeah. That got you.
But even better, because she was like, yeah, go get it, Ariel. And then as a beat, and then Billy Kay goes, I like that Little Mermaid reference.
Play the High Note says, Money in the Bank will suck. Bring on the Saudi show with stars.
Yeah, we're talking. Now we're talking. That Saudi show.
Saudi show. Quietly announced a Saudi show. I don't think that's going to get any TV plug.
Do you reckon?
I think they're going to keep it very quiet. It'll be like a big old house show type thing.
Bill Goldberg. What a crappy epilogue.
Do you know what? There is a we've got an article going up on WrestleTalk.com about the stars of Ready to Rumble and where are they now. And obviously Sting is in that movie. Mm. And the article was structured of being like, you know, what do they do in the movie? What do they do after? And where are they now? And in the portion of where are they now, talking about Sting, they were like, he's, you know, basically retired from wrestling. Although he has very publicly spoken about wanting to have a match with The Undertaker. And then the writer says, and the only place that will likely happen will be at a Saudi show where there's lots of money on the table. So, and I suddenly thought, you're absolutely right. That's never going to happen at WrestleMania, but it could very well happen at a Saudi show.
Benny Sato says,
hey.
Ooh, Andy. Or if you're Ollie, how do you do it?
Ooh, Andy.
Yeah, so just wrong. Lord Immorgal says, Bailey should win Money in the Bank. Becky should defeat Charlotte. Lacey come close to beating her but lose and then attack Becky, after which Bailey cashes in and walks out the biggest female on the roster.
But then you've got Bailey as a heel.
And also she's on Raw then. Because she's beaten... You said Lacey Evans nearly comes close to winning.
I guess if they cash in, they can cash in on me.
Yeah, you can cash in on either belt, I reckon. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Oh, I suppose. You're absolutely right. Yeah, that's my mistake.
I wouldn't do that, though.
No, me neither.
I liked it all up until the Bailey part.
Yeah. Kevin says, I think WWE will discreetly move a team from Raw to SmackDown. So I guess the Superstar Shake-up is still on, I suppose, for the belts.
And you said it earlier. You said it slightly off mic. I'm not sure if your mic was on, but I think you are right. Yeah. If he's better, AOP will be a good shout to go across.
So it'll be the Usos.
Be Gallus and Anderson. Because they've already moved over one.
Naomi's on Raw anyway.
No one remembers.
Brad Grove says, will WWE bring up any NXT tag teams to SmackDown for the titles? If so, who?
It's not a bad
not
shout.
The worst shout in the world. Street Profits, they need something to do. Hmm. It makes me sad, though, because they're going into a tag team division where there's no one else to face. Like, they'll be the top dogs, but then like, who are you feuding with?
Sean Turner, I've mentioned the Bailey to turn into the female Sting. My idea to have Sting mentor Bailey, give her a bat and slowly build her up until Sting gives her his own bat.
I love it even more. It's so goofy. I love it.
Who looks at Bailey and thinks Sting?
That guy and now this guy right here. I love it.
Santiago Villanueva says,
great name. I love it.
How long will Kofi's title run last? Do you think Fox will have an influence, a big influence on who they want to be the champion when their deal kicks in?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think Fox will have a big influence on that. Spike had an influence on TNA when they got onto their team. Well, at least according to Jeff Jarrett anyway. That's why Jarrett had to win the belt from Raven at house. Because Spike wanted it, but you know,
my hands are tied, guys.
I've got to be the champion, I guess.
The Villain TV says, I prefer you guys than watching Raw any day.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Thank you.
Which actually isn't that much of a compliment.
I guess it's a damning with faint praise.
Yeah.
But I'll take that. Mm-hmm.
I'd rather graze my knee than being punched in the face. Oh, whatever.
We should definitely put him in front of camera.
Yeah. Tomo says, Roman Reigns equals Mr. Rest Hold and Chin Lock.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sean Turner says, this is what's going to happen at Money in the Bank with Miz. This is the same guy with the Bailey idea.
My new favorite booker.
It will end by Miz dropping Shane off the cage onto a table. I doubt Miz will take a high drop off the cage.
Oh, it was basically the Kevin Owens finish they did last year with Braun Strowman. Mm. Right, Owens won because they threw him off. And that kind of plays off the WrestleMania finish where Shane only won because Miz did a move to him.
Mm. I can see that happening. Yeah. Jobber JJ says, as a jobber, Jobber's record is 1-29 versus Kairi and Asuka.
Oh, is he talking about the Jobber team last night?
Could
just
be.
Just like how the Iconics had a Jobber team record?
So. Mm.
Cool.
Victor Vega. This isn't actually that weird, but it just says, truth is, I'm Byron Saxton.
Now you know. And the more you know.
Shaded Bear says, I swear I'm going to put you in a song that I write about a Galloway girl and a perfect night.
It's Ed Sheeran isn't it?
But I'm assuming Galloway, I suppose that could be Drew Galloway.
I don't know. It's too basic for my tastes.
And
Ed Sheeran is like, he's vanilla. He is vanilla music.
I saw him at Glastonbury headline, and I was so bored, I left two songs in. Wow. Yeah. I went to go down a slide instead. There was a slide, and I thought, that slide's going to be open, because everyone's here, being basic. I'm going to play on the slide.
So vanilla. Just the most generic, simple music.
You're basic, Ed Sheeran.
To do the plug.
Good plug in.
Thanks, mate. But before we get that, let's see if we've got anything.
Does that really work as well, seeing that there's probably about an hour of podcast episode in between you saying, we're going to have a competition, and then you saying, I remembered the plug?
In what sense? In terms of...
Just from a listener experience.
Oh, right, yeah. Because for them, there has been an hour's time. It's like going into the quantum realm.
Yeah.
For you, it's been an hour, but for us, it's been 30 seconds. So maybe. Mm. Maybe there is... it's not as cohesive a listening experience as you and I might think it is. Let's have... Before we get into it, I'm going to read out this email first that comes from Abhiram. I'm going to say Abhiram. Hello, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, and finally coughs, Swaff Nation. Long story short, I went for a haircut the other day and I said four on the sides and cut in with scissors on the top and don't make it look too small. This is a barbershop window story, of course. The main reason I wanted to send this email was for Ollie. I was on the swim team and the other day I had to shave my entire body so I could go as fast as possible. Also, just so you know, I'm not a very hairy schooler. A very hairy high schooler, sorry. Anyways, I didn't want to shave with a blade because my skin is pretty weak and I honestly didn't want to risk bleeding. So I thought I brought this cream home. The cream works really well. No. I basically put it on at least 3 minutes, make sure you spread it out and not to rub it, then clean it off with a damp cloth and take a shower, and it doesn't take that long. Since Ollie's hair gets too long, using this cream once a month would be a great idea. The hair would come completely off your body, so that would help a lot. Oil. Yes, oil.
I've heard some horror stories, though, about men's hair removal.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to laugh, just I think it's Veet. I've just done a quick Google.
Yeah, we had this on the podcast.
Yeah, just some awful reviews. How much it hurts and the burning sensations.
That chap there also emailed in an 80% fact you might like this one. They came up with the Batman symbol when they saw the gap between a person's teeth. It looked like a bat. The symbol and name were hence created.
What? Whose teeth look like that?
He doesn't say. So maybe that's part of the
80%
fact.
Oh, that's dodgy.
I'm not sure I can get along with that 80% fact, unfortunately.
We need in Pointless, they've got the graphic of how much percentage. I think that's a Pointless fact.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So let's have a get better story. This one comes in from Matthew Perry.
I'm not going to say anything. Sorry, I stepped over your Matthew Perry reference to the Big Bang Theory, I presume.
Matthew Perry, very stars, famous for was he on the Big Bang Theory?
No, he wasn't. That's a god awful show.
Isn't it just, do you know who loves that show? My dad.
My dad loves it too.
My dad will watch that show every goddamn day because it's on E4 every bloody day. And he will just sit there and he'll watch it for an hour and he'll just chuckle to himself the whole way through.
You're not actually laughing at jokes. You're laughing at the canned laughter in between the awkward pauses from what they think is a joke, which just means you've put something on to feel like you're laughing with people.
Yeah.
And that's depressingly sad.
I was watching a video about the downfall of The Simpsons, and they had on there a clip from The Big Bang Theory, but without the canned laughter in it, and how it just feels like an empty existence to be a part of, because there's just long pauses in between people saying things mad awkwardly.
And the things they're saying are not funny.
No.
I really hope when we get older and the generation now, like what Friends is to us, they don't look back at The Big Bang Theory as, wow, what a moment from our childhoods.
What an influential show it was. Because that is a show that essentially did Nerdface for one season and then thought, this comic stuff's actually a bit boring and it's hard to make jokes about because none of us read the comics. Shall we just do Friends? Yeah, let's just do Friends. We'll just introduce some more female characters and we'll just do Friends. But again, and it became... I mean, it wasn't that great to begin with, but it's got incredibly worse.
But back to Matthew Perry.
Yes, please.
Oh, well, this is your... not you mean friends Matthew Perry or this Matthew Perry?
This Matthew
okay,
Perry.
Okay, this Matthew Perry. Emailer Matthew Perry. Hello to the WrestleTalk gang, brackets, with obvious exceptions. I just wanted to give you an update on my WrestleTalk Get Better. I emailed several months ago saying that I was training for a half marathon military rock march in the mountains of Tennessee. I just completed the march with a final time of 3 hours and 33 minutes.
Oh my God.
With a pack weight of 40 pounds.
Holy crap.
That's
what's that? What does 40 pounds equate to?
Do you want it in kgs?
I want it in the kgs. Kigs. Give me some kigs.
Kg. 1 second. Wait for my laptop. 18. 18 kilograms.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
That is a good grief. You're one of those people.
That's baby weight, isn't it?
No.
I mean, like a lot of babies.
Yeah.
Like two babies.
If you gave birth to a 40 pound baby. That's decimate. That's the snap down there. when I was running the marathon, someone overtook me with a giant keg on their back. Oh. And I was just like, ow, this hurts me. That guy did an hour and 10 minutes better than me with a 40-pound weight on their back.
It was a half marathon, phenomenal. Though, bearing in mind.
It's a good point. Oh, no, I'm much better than him then.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. That's really good. I'm not meant to be down on people's achievements.
I said this to you as well because my wife listens to this podcast. She goes, oh, he's very negative on people when they email and they get betters. He's just very quick to be like, well, that's rubbish because I do better.
It's a character flaw. It's a character flaw. I'm trying to work it through. It's only something I've been made aware of over the weekend. It was a blind spot. Well done. You did really well in your half marathon.
Purposely didn't listen to any wrestle talk leading up to the event and just listened to the podcast while I conducted the march. Huge thank you to the SWAF Nation for inspiring me with their stories of betterment. In just 2 weeks, I'll commission as an armor officer in the US Army and begin my military career. Wrestle Talk has got me through a lot of tough times, and I will always be grateful for what you gentlemen have created very respectively. And he has sent an image. Because he said pics or it didn't happen. And there is our friend
his
Matthew
forehead.
Perry.
Oh, well played, sir.
There he is there. And there is his bag. Marching in tribute to all of those who have fallen in honor of SSG Paul J. Johnson. Oh, that's very
man.
Nice. Look at these lads all going on a march. Lads and ladies, I guess. Oh, beautiful stuff. There's his time.
Well done.
Well done, Matthew Perry. Right, so do you want a competition?
Yes.
So, you might be aware, because you'll have heard of it at the top of this episode, but we're doing a live show.
What?
Next Tuesday at the Prince Charles Cinema in London's Leicester Square. It's a gorgeous Leicester Square that's filled with tourists and people doing crap shows in the middle of the street. but we are going to be doing...
Oh, I hate them.
They just create too many crowds.
Italians just flock to them.
Yeah.
Italian students.
And it'll just be a dance crew.
Oh.
Dance crew just dancing to songs I don't have time to hear. Yeah. And there's a Burger King there. There's several cinemas, a casino.
And usually, if it's the day, a 17-year-old knobhead who thinks he's the next Justin Bieber.
Oh, yeah. I was there the other week. It was when I went to go do the Street Fighter screening. And there were two guys who were dressed up like horror characters. And one of them was dressed up as Chucky. And I'm like, oh, you know, he's dressed up as Chucky. And their gimmick was they would just chase up to people to make them, like, you know, to scare them.
Mm.
He was not acting like Chucky, and it was winding me up a tree. He kept going and going like, man, I'm Chucky. And I'm like, that's not how Chucky acts, though, is it? You're not being true to the character. You're confusing him for Freddy Krueger. Anyway, that's by
from
the
Halloween series.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Anyway, that's by the by. But we're doing a live show in London's Leicester Square at the Prince Charles Cinema, screening the cinematic classic Ready to Rumble. We have got some really cool surprises lined up for the screening. We're very, very, very excited about it. We're going to be doing a live podcast recording that you may not hear. You have to come to the screening if you want to hear this live show.
Is it a recording then?
It is being recorded.
Oh, okay. Yep, cool.
And we will be, might release it to Patreons, we don't know yet. And we're going to be talking about the career of David Arquette and his impact on the wrestling landscape. And you can be there with us if you haven't bought your tickets already. Obviously, buy tickets, but you could also be in a chance to win tickets by entering in our competition. And all you have to do is answer this very simple question. In Ready to Rumble, there is a triple-decker steel cage match, which WCW then used in an actual pay-per-view using real-life wrestlers. What event did it take place at in the year 2000?
Ooh.
Answer, send it to...
Well, this isn't even multiple choice.
It's not even multiple choice.
A genuinely hard question. I don't know it, actually.
Oh, well, I mean, I do. I was watching it earlier. Email luke@wrestletalk.com with the subject heading PCC Comp. That's PCCComp to luke@wrestletalk.com for your chance to enter this excellent competition.
That's P for pterodactyl, C for champa, C for champa.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought you were going to do the rest of the thing as well, then, like the comp as well.
Oh, man. C for champa. O for, I don't know any non-phonetic words that begin with O.
Datsun?
We should go live.
We should go live. Sorry. Anyway, yeah, we've got to go do a show now. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. Laurie and I will, at the very least, for the NXT review. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.